Welcome to Blondie and the Brit, Writing, Publishing, and Beyond. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit podcast. I am Blondie, KJ Waters.
And I'm Suzanne Calman, I'm the Brit.
And together we're Blondie and the Brit.
Yay!
Woohoo! I am the author of Stealing Time.
And I'm the author of The Rejected Writer's Book Club.
Welcome to the best of Blondie and the Brit. This week we're re-airing an interview with Evan Marshall, who is an agent and an author. Welcome to Blondie and the Brit. Today we have Evan Marshall as our guest. He is the owner of the Evan Marshall Agency. He's a literary agent, author, and former book editor with nearly 40 years of publishing experience. He was a literary agent working at Sterling Lord Agency before founding his own agency. He's been a successful literary agent for more than 30 years and an internationally recognized expert in fiction writing. Evan is the author of the classic writing guide, The Marshall Plan for Novel Writing, that I use for Stealing Time. Evan speaks in writing and publishing at workshops, conferences, and conventions nationally and has also written many articles for print and online publications. He is also the author of the Jane Stewart and Hidden Manhattan Mystery Series. Welcome, Evan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure.
All right. Well, let's jump right into it. As I mentioned, I've used your novel plotting device for the Marshall Plan for writing Stealing Time, which is my first novel. I'm using it for the second one, too, and I love it. It's really good. Can you give us a brief overview of that tool?
Absolutely. Structure is what is mostly about. What it does, it lays out a structure for your novel, which includes all of the key turning points in a story. For example, how to open your story, how to write the inciting incident that gets the actual plot going, how to do what we call surprises, which are twists and turns that should occur at least in a few certain places in your book. And at the end, of course, it helps you negotiate the tricky tying up of threads and getting to the climax and the denouement. So it's really meant for people who need a framework and then want to be creative within that framework. It automates the system that I set out back in the late 90s in my book, The Marshall Plan for Novel Writing, which you mentioned. And then what it does is help you set out the exact number of scenes for your novel based on word length. It also helps you decide on how many viewpoint characters to have in your novel. I created this system for myself years ago when I was trying to write fiction. I had published fiction as a book editor. I was representing fiction, but I still found it a little mystifying when I tried to do it myself.
Right.
And so I created this system, which basically gives a structure that you can be creative within.
Right. And for me, it was extremely helpful. I am very creative, had a million ideas. I knew kind of what I wanted to do, but I had never written a book before. So for me, I went into Barnes & Noble and just looked at all the different possibilities of books to help me with that. And yours was so good because, as I said, I'm very creative, but I don't really have the structure. And being a novice at writing at that point, I really didn't know what the structure should be. So it was so simple to kind of just, it gave me the framework without limiting my creativity. So it was a perfect match for me, and I'm sure there's a lot of people out there that could use this. It also has a workbook. Can you tell me, was the workbook a natural progression of that, or were people asking you for such a device?
Yes. The first book was more describing what you should do, but not really setting it out. The workbook allows you to actually use the pages to plot out your book, depending on your length and decisions you've made. It actually tells you, fill in this scene and then go to page 263 and then fill in that scene, but skip these. In other words,
Right. It's
sort of a choose-your-own-adventure style workbook that kind of acts as a manual sort of software in that you can actually write your novel in the workbook.
Right. And what I did is I took you also give an example of like the section page. So it gives you, you know, you have which character, where are they? So it gives you some good details. And at the very end of it, you have to end it in a cliffhanger. What it is that the main character has to fail and the antagonist has to succeed. So that's the structure of it.
To tell you, Evan, it's funny because when KJ and I are chatting about, you know, her process, she'll go, oh, I needed to do, Evan told me I'm supposed to do this on this page, and I didn't get around to doing that yet. So it's really fun I feel like you're part of her process, you know, yes. Like you're sat there in the room showing her what she should be doing.
Right.
Oh, I'm glad. We've had a lot of people tell us that we're part of their process. But yes, we set out two different ways of handling scenes or sections, as we call them,
right.
In our system. There's an action section where a character is going after a short-term goal that will he or she hopes lead to attaining the story goal. And then we have something called a reaction section. And a reaction section is for the character to respond to some devastating thing that has happened to him or her. It's when something so bad has just happened that a whole scene is required to deal with it.
Wow.
Right. And sometimes you need that because you can't just have another action item happening. They have to get to it. You've got to get the reader to connect with that person emotionally. So it gives them a chance to express that. And there's a formula, too. If there's a confidant, you use that person as a way to express it so it isn't just in their head and not just them talking like a mad person to themselves. So there's a lot of really good tips in there. And then you also have, you know, instructions on, you know, how to get to an agent, how to edit various, you know, small pieces, but it does gave me a lot of really good information and a really good structure. And I think my book is an example of how well it works because it is really fast paced. A lot of people have said it's a major page turner, and that's because of your system. It does not end up being, you know, meandering storyline. A lot of times I'll write a chapter and it's like, oh, and he went to bed happy. No, he can't be happy. According to Evan Marshall, he's got to...
The characters happy.
Can't have them happy.
No happiness until the very end.
Right, exactly. So, right. And so sometimes in you're trying to get a certain number of words and you write the whole thing out and you want to be nice. I'm a nice person. I want to be nice to my characters. But, you know, according to Evan Marshall, I've got to torment them all. So, I've really, really enjoyed it. So the workbook, then did people ask for it then? It was more of a, like, they wanted a place to write this down, or just as the book was doing well, you decided to add that as a layer?
It was both, actually. People were saying, gee, you described in words what we're supposed to do, but it would sure be handy if you actually laid out these sheets for us. And I thought, well, why not? A workbook would be a great accompanying piece to the first book. The most complaints we got were that people were writing in the workbook and then they had to buy another workbook. But that made us very happy.
Yes, that's a good problem.
Right for you, Evan. Yes. Right there.
Right.
You know what I love about just listening? Because this is the first time I really heard the system laid out. And what I really love about it is when you sit down in the morning to write, you know, sometimes it's hard to actually physically write the story. I like the idea of this workbook because not only can you jot notes down in that to start your writing process off, you have somewhere to start with that writing process. If you've only got an hour, you're not spending that hour trying to get into the mojo or whatever people have to do. You know, it's right there. And right. I love that idea.
Right, right. And the other thing I really liked about the workbook is at the beginning, it gives you a chance and a place to keep track of character names. Like, you don't want to repeat letters. It gives you a place to write down, you know, ideas for the surprise. It gives you a whole, like, workbook section. Okay, surprise number one, here's what's going to be. It's got to be, you know, devastating failure. And then it gives you a place to write it all out, and then you can...
Number one's got to be devastating failure. Is that what you said?
Well, yeah. Well, what, what's...
And then each surprise has to be more... The next surprise has to be more devastating than the last, and
yeah. Wow, gosh, you guys are hardcore. I'm glad I write comedy.
Well, as you said, Suzanne, it takes the guesswork out of it.
Yeah, right. I love it. I think it's so smart.
It does. And then the other thing that I did, because, you know, this is the first book I'd ever written. I didn't really know. It gave me a whole section to write a background, a bio on each character. Not that you necessarily want to throw all of that stuff in, but I know how tall she is. I have pictures of her. I know, you know, all her background stories. So if I ever need to pull that, or if I'm writing book two and I've forgotten, I can go right back to that place in the workbook where I mapped all that stuff out. So like you said, Suzanne, if you're not able to write, you know, you're in a writing block, you go back and you fill in some of this stuff. I know my bad guy.
Space, right?
Yeah. I know what Jeffrey's dad did for a living. I know all these things that you can pull into the story as you're going along, but you certainly don't want to dump, is another thing that he tells you. You don't want to dump giant paragraphs of summary of what happened. But if you know what it is, it will be consistent throughout. You've got it written down.
Exactly. And as you said, many times this is not information you will actually use in your novel, but it will help you feel you know this character better.
So let's just, what's the name of the book again, in case people are halfway through the interview in the car?
The first book is The Marshall Plan for Novel Writing, which we now sell as an ebook. Remember, the first book came out in 1998, so that we barely mentioned things like computers.
Yeah.
I think I actually mentioned the typewriter in that book.
Get out. That's
the
hilarious.
E-book,
typewriter.
All updated and allows for the fact that we have computers and the internet now. The second book, The Workbook, is not actually in print, but does exist in used copies. Believe it or not, unwritten in used copies.
Wow.
Which many people find on Amazon. Because I think what happened was people did not want to actually write in the book.
Right.
They made photocopies. So that used copies that you might find on Amazon or Abe Books or whatever used bookstore you like very often are fresh and clean and ready for you to write in.
Right. Or they maybe did what I did, is they transferred it to the computer so that I could copy, cut and paste the format and then write it in there like that.
An excellent idea. Yeah.
Right. And let me just throw in real quickly, can you explain, you've turned the Marshall Plan series of books into a software program. If you want to just touch on that real quick.
Oh, sure. What we did was we basically automated the system in the workbook so that instead of tearing sheets out or putting them on your computer or pasting them on the wall, you answer a few questions and the software sets everything up for you to then fill in.
Great. Very cool. What are some of your own personal tips to get past the fear of the blank page?
I think the first thing you need to do is be absolutely clear on the kind of book you want to write. That are you writing a mystery? Are you writing a romance? Are you writing a thriller? And then when you know what kind of book you want to write, which most often is the kind of book you most love reading, you know how these books begin. And so it's easier for you to start doing that in your book. Also, if you follow our system, you know at the beginning what should be happening to your lead character. For example, first, I say that you should show life as usual for this character. Don't hit the character with the inciting incident immediately. Show us what life is like when things are normal. So that's what you want to show. So there's no meandering. There's something you really need to start doing. There's no questions. That's what you're going to do. And then a few pages in or a chapter in, you would hit the character with this terrible thing that turns his or her life upside down.
Right.
And so, if you know exactly the kind of book you want to write, there really shouldn't be any writer's block, no fear of the blank page, because your job is clear.
Well, right, and something that helps with me and the format that you've created, like right now, I kind of merged your version with Suzanne's version. She's got these giant post-it note, and I have B1, B2, B3, you know, beginning one is how he structured it, beginning, middle, and end. And then, surprise number one here, and so I've written it all out so I can slap it up on my wall, but it keeps the structure. So there's pieces that I haven't written yet. So when I get, if I ever get writer's block, which I usually don't get, but if I do, I need to come up with the reaction to this section. So I know exactly what kind of a chapter I'm going to write. And I had to fill in the storyline, of course. So that took a lot of creative thinking, but that's the part I'm good at. So it gave me the structure that I didn't have as a natural ability and helped me put my story, my creative story into that. So all good stuff.
Most people were saying to me, when you write your book, tell me what to do next. I type a scene and I'm happy with it, and then I stare. I don't know where to go from there. And that was the problem I was having myself. I wasn't really sure what direction. Right. And so I decided to create a system that made it perfectly clear. No mysticism woven around it. This is what you need to do next.
Well, and it also turns out a really good product, too, because, you know, I've read books where it doesn't really seem to go anywhere. It's great character development, but it's like this, loose bunch of ideas, and it's not that interesting to read. So if you follow this structure, you're forcing the writer and the reader through some rigorous things. So it makes the story way faster paced, a lot more interesting to read, and I think a better product.
Yes, we're proud of that. Many people come to us and say, I used your book. I hit the New York Times. We had a man in Norway who was on the radio, actually. He's a best-selling thriller writer, and he announced that he wrote his first book by using the Marshall Plan for novel writing.
So wow, that's fabulous.
Before we knew that, we couldn't figure out why our sales were so great in Norway.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we found out it was this wonderful guy whom I'm still in touch with. And I thanked him. He said, no thanks. Don't thank me. I will always credit your system for getting me on the bestseller list.
Wow, that's a great story. That's a good recommendation right there. Huh?
Right.
So I actually think that the other thing that really helps, I'm guessing helps you, is the fact that you also wear the hat of an agent. And so you've seen a lot of books that aren't doing things the right way, which helped you maybe even write your first book, The Marshall Plan. So tell us a little bit about, if we could switch gears into the agency side of your work, but why do people, if there's authors out there and they've got lots of things they need to do, why do people need an agent?
Absolutely. The main thing I think an agent does is help you set your goals in your career. If you don't have anyone guiding you, you can just drift from one contract to another, one novel to another, without really having any goal in mind. And before you know it, 30 years have passed and you've been doing the exact same thing and didn't ever really have a plan. So one thing I enjoy doing with my own authors is helping them create a plan, set goals, and then we work together to reach those goals. Another thing that a good agent can do is give you some editorial feedback, give you some ideas on your proposals, on your manuscripts. We also work with editors a lot, and editors ask us, do you have an author who could write a blank? Or, I have an idea for a novel, and I think people on your list might be right to do this. Can you find me someone? Mm-hmm. I don't think the public is quite aware of how often that happens, where editors go looking for someone to write a book. And a good agent can be a doorway into those kinds of projects. And the other thing, of course, is financially speaking, we will find markets for your work that you can't reach without an agent. For example, we can help place your translation rights. We can help place your British rights. We can help place your audio rights, your large print. And God willing, we can help you get an option in Hollywood for film or TV. Mm-hmm. So there are a lot of things an agent brings to the equation.
I actually love my agent, so I totally support what you're saying here. What is the best way to approach an agent? And you can tell us some of the things not to do, maybe.
Yeah.
But what is the best way that you like to be approached yourself?
The best way I like to be approached, and these guidelines are on our website, which is evanmarshallagency.com, is for someone to simply write me a query letter by email describing their project, describing themselves a little bit, and then I like to see a synopsis of their story. We only handle fiction, by the way. And then I like the first three chapters pasted into that email so I can actually see the work. It's all about the work. I would say that when you're first looking for an agent, go to directories like the one on the website of the Association of Authors Representatives, where you can actually do a search for agents and filter according to the types of books they handle. That's a great place to start, because those agents, all to belong to that organization, they have to abide by a code of ethics. So there will never be, with an agent who belongs to that organization, there will never be a reading fee, a handling fee. There's no fees up front and no unethical behavior, which unfortunately happens sometimes. The other thing is that most agencies do have a website. And it's important, once you've decided on one you'd like to approach, to go to the website and read the submission guidelines. I get a lot of emails where people say, I know you like a writer to do blah, blah when he approaches you, but I'm not going to do that.
I'm going to thumb my nose at your system.
I know you don't handle this kind of book because it says so on your website, but I think for me, you'll make an exception.
Oh, wow. Good way to approach somebody.
They really do that, do they?
They do. We also get emails where the two line of the email, there are 50 agent email addresses.
And it's
addressed dear agent or to whom it may concern, or nothing. It just starts out with a description of the book. I don't know, psychologically speaking, I would say you're smarter to aim at one agent, because that agent, for whatever reason, you think is right for your project, and then really speak to that person the way you would approach any professional. There's no mystique about it. People say, oh, I can't get published. Publishers don't want books. Publishers do want books. People say, agents, no agent wants a new new client. Of course we want new clients. We just want terrific material and professional people. So handle yourself professionally and get right to the work and submit something that that agent actually handles. If the work is good, chances are we'll sign you and probably get you a contract. There's no magic to it.
Right. That's really good information. I love that. And so you handle fiction. What do you look for in a submission? Are you looking for anything particular at the moment, or are you taking on new clients at this time?
I am, actually. The funny thing is, many of my clients have been with me for 20 or 30 years. And when we started, I was in my 20s, and maybe they were in their 40s or 50s, and now some of them, they're aging out, as a friend of mine. And so I do have some openings. My authors, many of them are like family to me, but many of them are slowing down, so I do have some spots. I look for fiction in virtually any genre, as long as it's something editors are buying. I look for terrific writing, of course. But more than that, I look for freshness within the genre. So if you're writing a cozy mystery, I want to see that you've done your research and you don't send me a cozy mystery with a coffee shop background when there are already 13 cozy mysteries with coffee shop backgrounds. So I want to see that you have a fresh new idea. So I guess I'm looking for three things. I'm looking for terrific, polished writing. I'm looking for fresh new ideas within whatever genre you've chosen, and I'm looking for a professional person, someone rational, because, as I said, spending a lot of years with you, and I don't want you to be a nut.
These are writers. A lot of them are nuts.
I don't want you to be a nut. That's how we should call it from you, I think.
Yes, I love that. I love that. No, that's
rational professional. I love that. Good luck.
But no, they're out there. They're definitely out there.
I do find them. Yes. Once I find them, I don't let go of them.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like 20 years. That's pretty good going with an agent. I think you're doing something right.
Yes.
20 or 30 sometimes.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, I'm very proud of that, and I love my authors. We've been through a journey together, and when I think of where they were when we started and where they are now, I'm very proud of them.
That's wonderful. Well, actually, that's interesting that you've been an agent for so long, because you've really seen the change in the business over the last particularly 10 years with, you know, ebooks and all these, you know, so much more indie books are being, so many more indie books are being published. How has that affected your work? Has that affected your work at all as an agent?
It's affected my work in that many of my authors whom I place with traditional publishers are now also indie publishing. They're hybrids, as we say.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's, most often, that's a good thing, because the indie books help the traditional and vice versa. I would say that it makes me stay on my toes, because if I don't do a good job for them and get them a good contract and give them a happy career, there's no reason why they can't just say, goodbye, I'm going to do this myself. So an agent really has to bring more to the table, or else how do we justify our existence?
Right, and wow. So how do you do that?
Well, as I said, for one thing, we do try to open doors for them that they wouldn't be able to open themselves, like all the foreign rights and subsidiary rights. But the other thing really, I would say, mostly is the goal setting and the career crafting. I've had authors who have said to me, yes, I write category romance now, but I want you to help me, if you can, to write big hardcover books, women's fiction. And I say, okay, well, let's plot out how we're going to reach that. What are the stepping stones to get to that? So I'm a manager for my authors, the same as an actor might have a manager. Writers are the talent, and I bring to the table the ability to help my authors reach their ultimate goals. The result is that, you know, we have countless people hitting bestseller lists. I have an author I was speaking with this morning who started out writing very small historical romances, and now she's one of what we call one of the queens of Amish romance.
Wow.
That's
such a
thing.
That's
what I want to be, queen of Amish romance.
Yes. I don't think there's much of a market in that's where you are.
Wow. But, no, not many ebooks for that category, I'm thinking.
Yeah. It's but you have to be sincere in it, and you have to know what you're doing. She really was right for it. But I have many people with stories like that where they started out very small, modestly, very low contract, and now they're well into the six figures, sometimes seven figures, not that often, but sometimes.
Yeah,
and still seven-figure deals out there. That's amazing.
I'm proud to say I've helped them achieve.
That's really cool. Well, the interesting thing I find, like in my mind, I don't know a whole lot about agents, obviously, and I think they're there for the one big deal and then they kind of disappear. What you're saying is this is more of a crafting of your career. What do you want? You work with them to build it, not just for that one book, but for where do they want to be? So there's a lot of value to that. It isn't just a, you know, one book wonder kind of thing. You're trying to craft them into something maybe they hadn't even dreamed themselves.
Exactly, exactly. I was just at the Novelist Inc. convention in Florida, which is a terrific group, by the way, and I recommend it for anyone who's already published a few novels. Mm-hmm. And I met with a number of people who said to me, I've been self-publishing or I've been publishing with this publisher and I'm going nowhere. And I'm looking for someone to help me and work with me. And you're absolutely right, KJ. I'm not interested in a one book wonder. I'm not interested in a big book and then dropping someone. When I take someone on, I ask, what other things are you thinking of doing? What other books would you like to write? Because if this works, we'll be together for a long time, and I want to know what else you want to do.
Right, right. And maybe even push them, you know, they're thinking very small. You can broaden their horizons and make them think much bigger than they'd ever dreamed. So.
Exactly. Several people at this conference said to me, I've hit a brick wall. I've been writing these kinds of books. I don't know what to do next. And I came up with a few suggestions for bigger things they might do that they haven't thought of.
Right, that they haven't thought of, but with your knowledge of knowing what actually sells and what the market is looking for. So that's very valuable.
I think so. Very often, one of my clients will come to me with several projects he's thinking or she's thinking of doing. And I'll say, I don't think you should do that. That's not going to go anywhere. This could be right, but let me see the proposal and I can help you fine tune it. I think it would be right for these publishers.
Right. So there's a
and
lot
I think
of that.
I think that's actually also your skill, Evan. Not every agent is as skilled at that as you are, by the sounds of it, as far as mapping a career, you know, because some agents, I know everyone has their own skills, and that's obviously just one of your skill sets, is being able to really read the industry at the time and see what's really moving and working. That's wonderful to hear.
Well, I think partly, thank you, part of it is that I was a book editor for a number of years before I became an agent. So I do have an understanding of what the publishers are looking for because I acquired a lot of books. I was on that side. I know how they think. It's kind of a secret weapon. And then, of course, I wrote 14 books of my own, 10 of which were fiction. So I also know about targeting genre and just getting a contract.
Right. Now, have you written anything recently?
More in the past. I've been so busy with my agency that I haven't written in a while. I did write the 10 mysteries and 4 nonfiction books, which all of which I'm very proud of.
Great. Well, the 4 nonfictions are the Marshall Plan, right?
Actually, 3 are Marshall Plan. There was the Marshall Plan for novel writing, the Marshall Plan workbook, and the Marshall Plan for success as a novelist. But the very first book back in the early 80s was a book on body language of the eyes. It was called Eye Language at the time.
Oh.
And it was republished under the title The Eyes Habit.
Oh, wow.
That was an early interest of mine. And it's done very well over the years, but that's the kind of standalone nonfiction I did.
Right. Well, that's good for writers because you're trying to convey a lot by describing a character. So that could be valuable. Is that still in print? That was a while ago.
It is. I believe it's still in print in its new edition under the title The Eyes Have.
Right, right. Let me ask you this. How has all this blossoming of social media changed for you as an agent and then also for your authors?
Well, the first enormous change it's had is that my writers no longer, for the most part, they no longer go out and do a zillion actual public appearances. In the old days, everybody did a tour, whether the publisher set it up or the author, him or herself, set it up. Now, you're lucky if you can get a bookstore to agree to do a signing for you.
Oh, wow.
Everyone has taken to the internet. Obviously, you can reach so many more people online than you can, you know, one evening from 6 to 9 at a signing.
Yeah.
Many of my authors who started in the 70s and 80s actually greatly missed that aspect of publishing, of getting out and doing things in person, and they've had to kind of dream up other things to do like that. But mostly taking everything to cyberspace has been an enormous change, one that authors have had to embrace and that publishers have had to embrace.
Yeah.
And the smartest publishers are the ones with departments full of smart, techie people who know what to do with all the social media. It's right. really where it's at.
You really have to. Now, are there things that you do as an agent on social media to either get new clients or help support your clients? Or is that not necessarily what an agent would be doing?
It may be something other agents do. On my social media, I would say the emphasis is more on the Marshall Plan. So we post things about interesting novels, news about novelists, things like that. I will, of course, help my authors by reposting, retweeting, sharing. I'm trying to help them any way I can. But I would say it's mostly to that extent.
All right. Now, so you're on Twitter and Facebook. Are you on other social media channels as well?
Yes, we're on Pinterest. We're on Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and I'm on Goodreads.
Goodreads. Oh, of course. Right. Now, is that under the Marshall Plan? So your main focus isn't necessarily your agency. It's more to promote that book.
Yes, mostly that's what it is. That's the Marshall Plan side of things.
So we're now going to do the lightning round.
Okay, so Evan, here's how it works. We're going to ask you a series of rapid-fire questions. We don't want you to think deeply about it. Just kind of give us the first answer that comes to your head. And they're simple, so don't worry. Are you ready?
Yes, it's like a game show. It sounds like
it
fun.
It is.
Yes.
At the end, we kind of give you a battle and a prize. In fact, you can win a copy of the Marshall Plan.
I want to win a car.
Oh, okay. Well, you need to go on The Price is Right for that one.
You can have any of mine. They're all hopeless.
Okay.
Awesome. All right. Okay. So, first of all, tea or coffee?
Coffee.
For when you write, which I know you haven't in a while, but when you were writing, do you write in silence or with music?
In silence.
What did you want to be when you were growing up?
I wanted to be a novelist.
Get out. And there you did it. And more.
Yes. I never planned to be an editor, and I certainly never even thought of being an agent.
Right. Well, that's interesting how that developed. Well, at least you got to do what you really wanted to first, and then it kind of grew into other things. I love it.
Exactly.
Is there a book you could read every year?
Yes. I would. This is funny. Believe it or not, my favorite book is sort of a trash classic, Valley of the Dolls by Jacqueline Suzanne.
It's a classic.
It's a classic. It's so funny. Mr. You know, professional agency guy likes the trashy.
Oh, no, I'm a trash monger.
Oh, I love the contrast. That is beautiful.
I think from Monday and Friday he wants you to put your tie on. The rest of the time he's just hanging out.
Exactly. I love popular fiction. I love poor Jackie Collins, who just passed. I love Jacqueline Suzanne. I love thrillers. I love books for fun.
That's awesome. I love that. Well, yeah, you do
it. I love knowing that about you. That's kind of fun.
Yeah, well, and the fact that you have to read all these books for work, then you go to find something that's a little bit, you know, a little more fun. That's good. I love it.
Right.
All right. Dog or cat?
Cat.
Okay. It's if you could have dinner with one author who's either alive or not anymore, who would that be?
Agatha Christie.
Oh yeah,
very good answer.
You could pick her brain, man. She could tell you things.
And she was a very interesting person.
Yeah. What is your favorite vacation spot?
The Caribbean.
Oh, nice. Oh. Any particular?
Actually, I love the Bahamas. I don't know if you'd actually consider them Caribbean. I love the Bahamas. I love St. Thomas. I'll take any island.
Sounds good. Have you ever been to Bermuda?
Yes. Actually, my wife and I honeymooned on Bermuda. It was beautiful, absolutely beautiful. But back then, it was kind of formal. So it was dress for dinner and a lot of Madras shorts.
Ah, right. It was the British influencer. I honeymooned in Bermuda as well.
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Elbow Beach was where we stayed.
Oh, nice, nice. We were at the Marley Beach Cottages, which is now condos, but...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, love it. What is your favorite book genre to read? I think you've already said this, but...
Well, in spite of Jacqueline Suzanne, I would say my favorite genre is psychological mystery. Ruth Rendell kind of thing.
Ooh.
Nice, good. Makes you think. Yeah. Do you write best in the morning or at night?
In the morning.
Morning. If money was no object, where would you live?
New York City.
You're so close. There you go.
Yep.
What is your favorite comfort food?
Ice cream.
Yes. What kind?
Rocky Road.
Yum. Yeah, ice cream is definitely my favorite. Do you have a nickname?
Ev.
Ev. That's pretty sure. It's good for texting.
We'll feel cool. We'll feel cool. We call you Ev.
Ev. Yo, Ev.
Call me Ev.
Yo, Ev. What's up? Beach or mountains?
Beach.
Excellent. All right.
Well, ding, ding, ding. You are the winner of a 1919 Floor Explorer. You get it.
Oh, thank you.
You have to go to Seattle to pick it up.
Washington State and pick it up.
I knew I wouldn't win something really good.
Oh, we're just starting out. Yeah, come back with us in a few years. We may have better prizes.
Yeah, I'm only kidding. I really enjoyed this. Thank you both.
Great.
Well, this is fun. I think it's always. I always love the lightning round because you learn things about people that you think. That are off that take that professional hat off, and it's really always fun to
Great idea.
Well, Evan, thank you so much for being with us today. You provided a lot of great information, and it was nice for me to talk to you because you're the one that helped me write my first book. So.
Oh, great to talk to you both. I really enjoyed it, and I'm honored that you asked me to do this.
Great. Thank you so much. Please join us next week where we interview our very own Suzanne Kelman. She tells us about her writing journey and the other projects she has going on. It should be a very interesting interview. I hope you join us. You can find our show notes and more information about our podcast at blondieandbrit.com. That's BLONDIEANDBRIT.com.